Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. We are live in studio back with Lori Bess from her travels last week. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you, Shelley. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you back. Tell us a little bit about your week-long excursion in Texas. What were you up to?
Well, I'm working on a book about leadership with a CEO that I've been working with and been friends with, Doug Hawthorne. Mm. And we are telling the Texas Health Resource story with the premise that 75% of all mergers and acquisitions fail.
Wow.
And Texas Health merged two entities into one and took them from a $20 million deficit to now they have a $100 million surplus. And they've done it as a not-for-profit and also with the community care of handling anybody in the emergency room that comes in for any reason.
Wow.
So it's just an amazing story. But, you know, in thinking of our theme today, succession planning, I was set to interview the chairman of the board who had just started in January, and he died.
Wow.
He died suddenly and at the age of 72. And so everybody was scrambling to change flights and get to memorial services. And it was a very, certainly a huge loss for the community because he was very loved. But at the age of 72, which with virtually no warning, he was just gone.
Wow.
So now the chairman in waiting has to step up, and it's actually a woman. She's stepping up 18 months early into her post. And so everybody is having to plan differently,
sure.
live differently.
Sure.
There's a hole in the heart of many people now because he's gone.
Mm.
But you never know when God's going to call you.
That is so true. And this is an interesting topic. You know, I'm not sure, how excited we can get about planning. But it certainly is something, as you point out here in your writing this chapter, it's in the balance chapter. And so I found that to be interesting, to look out into the future to bring balance to the moment. We often teach that in coaching, obviously. We teach those principles that we're always moving to the future. The next second is really the future, right? We're now living in the future,
right?
And so as I got my head around this, obviously if it were a checklist, I wouldn't be doing so well right now from what you tell us here in this chapter. But I loved how you positioned this around how Jesus was very clear early on to make succession planning part of his ministry. Talk to us about that.
Well, he knew that he was only going to be here a short time, and he started training them from day one. You will not always have me. Watch carefully.
Mm.
Go and do. I'm preparing you to handle this. So he, knowing where he came from and where he was going, he started training people from day one.
Yeah. But and I think sometimes we think of succession planning as, and correct me if I'm wrong here, as somebody replacing us, but not necessarily as our exit out of here.
right.
You know, talk to me about that a little bit. Where does, do we think we're just immortal? We're going to live forever?
Oh, yes, absolutely, particularly in America.
Yeah.
I mean, we are immortal and... in the book I talk about Jerry Seinfeld said that he was overwhelmed with emotion when his first child was born. And then he realized, looking, and he said, babies are really sent here to replace us. And I thought that was a cute perspective. Yes, the time marches on, and sometimes we dread it and we fight it, but people who have a plan for it can really have more peace about it.
Mm.
We always act like death is a surprise, and yet it's inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
That is the one sure thing
that we can count on.
Right.
Yeah. when you talk about legacy here, throughout this chapter, I get the sense that you're talking about something beyond this world, something, obviously legacy is something you're leaving, but you talk about treasures in the beyond, and soul work, and, you know, those kinds of things.
Well, it's in us to want to leave something behind. If you look at the Great Pyramids, you know, the tombs and the monuments that people built to themselves, because they wanted to say, I mattered, you know, I was here. I was here.
Mm.
And as we were saying in the pre-show, this, the very fact that we're doing these shows is part of succession planning, because we're recording me while I'm still here,
yeah,
around these ideas, and hopefully they will last beyond my lifetime. So you're very foresightful.
Yeah.
In doing that.
When, going back to Jesus, when he gathered the disciples around and was clear that, you know, I'm not going to be here too long, I don't think they took him very serious about that. You know, so I wonder sometimes, you know, I've kind of sat with that this week, whether I'm in a classroom, in a sanctuary, in an art project, in a deadline, I don't always take it seriously because I think there's more time.
Right.
There's another day.
Right.
There's another window of opportunity, or I'll have the chance to sit down and really think about that. It made me think of my mom in a little bit. You know, she doesn't have a will, and every time I'm with her, we talk about we need to do this. And so, I don't know, a few months ago I was driving her to the doctor or something, and I said, okay, Mom, I'm getting my phone out, and while I'm driving, we're going to talk about your will. At least we have it on audio, you know. But it's just amazing to me how we, you know, me in particular, you know, I just always think I've got another day to get this.
Mm-hmm.
I've got another day to get it right.
Right.
The
one of the things I learned in fiction writing courses that I've taken is that to make it interesting, you have to have the character have a deadline. And certainly the TV series 24, you know, the clock ticking where it would show, you know,
oh, yeah,
24 hours to save the world. And,
yeah,
and it seems to sometimes bring out the best in us. You know, most games are won in the last 2 minutes.
Sure.
Where people realize, okay, I'm going to have to leave it all on the field. There isn't another half or another quarter or another inning. I mean, this is it. So, maybe in that sense, death is our friend. You know, I'm sure I've often wondered, and many people have, why is there death in the world?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like very sad, you know, that we should be able to live forever. But somehow it's built into our system, and certainly we are reassured that this is not all there is.
Mm.
And, you know, we need to go on to the next level.
Yeah, well, it's a deep conversation. I'm looking for the particular passage here in Luke. I think you point out that the story about the man whose business was doing very well, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then those things be which you have provided. So it is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Wow, now that's a loaded text right there.
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular chapter, you know, you're reminding us that, wow,
lay up treasures in heaven. And I tell the story of a young couple that I met at the Christian Management Association several years ago, and they live in a modest house, and they have given away millions to ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And I commented on how generous that was, and they said, oh, we're just, you know, we're planning our future in heaven.
Yeah.
We want a mansion. You know, he was joking.
Yeah.
But succession planning, I think there needs to be generosity of spirit. There needs to be a sense of giving while you have it. Like you were saying, you're looking for a church for your ministry, and this pastor said they have a beautiful building and that they all had decided that that was abundance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the building itself was abundance.
Sure.
How could they share it with the community? So that's part of the legacy, too. It's just the generosity of being and giving instead of measuring, you know, one little piece of popcorn at a time, as my godson Jacob did when I told him he had to share with his brother. He'd take one piece of popcorn and give it to him. So I think we're a lot like that in many ways.
Yeah. It's a great image of what life can, what does life look like beyond this particular life? You know, just to really sit and kind of contemplate that. You know, and I think some people spend a lot of time in that realm, and some people spend no time at all.
Right.
I grew up hearing my grandfather say often, I am so heavenly minded that I'm no earthly good.
Right.
You know, and there's a part of that that I think is, you know, just a precious commodity of who he was. But, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes you look back and you say, what did I accomplish today?
Right.
For legacy, for someone when I'm not here, for the people that I will leave behind. You know, and I think that's the biggest question sometimes for succession planning is, who am I leaving behind? I think you pointed out, too, that it was twofold. I can't remember what you said. Succession planning is twofold.
It was a long chapter, relatively long, 6 pages for me. Well, I think it was twofold. One, what are you planning to leave behind in this world? And then what are you storing up in heaven?
Yeah, on the other side. Whom are you going to leave behind, and with what legacy?
Mm-hmm.
That's a powerful question.
Right. You know, there's a popular song out by Taylor Swift right now called Ronin, about a little boy who died of cancer, I guess, when he was 4 years old. He'd only lived 4 years. And it's a very moving song. You can't listen to it without weeping. But the mother says, in one of the verses, let's fly away. She lies with him and she says, let's fly away from here. And then she says, you were my best 4 years.
Wow.
So she was simultaneously thinking of going into the beyond with him and at the same time the legacy he gave her.
Wow. It's a powerful song.
Yeah.
And a powerful thought. Wow. Thanks for sharing that. Oh, I'll have to listen to it. I have not heard that song.
Yeah. You know, and I had an epiphany. I was in El Paso after my Dallas trip, and I now that my mother is gone, I have a real sympathy for people who are helping their elderly parents, you know, in and out of cars and to the doctor's office or to the pharmacist. And I remember thinking, how Mom never wanted us to take care of her. I mean, she dreaded having to be taken care of. And towards the end, it was some of our happiest times, some of my most blessed times. And I didn't think I had it in me. In fact, my family, you know, I'm not a nurturer by nature since water is my lowest. But it drew something out of me, that caring for her. I remember washing her back in the shower one time and her skin was so pink and fresh, even though she was 90 years old. So the legacy she gave me was being able to care for her, even when she couldn't care for herself.
Wow. Well, thank you, Lori, for, again, for sharing and for writing these thoughts that make us think and challenge us beyond even where we are today.
Thank you,
Shelley. Yes. Thank you, listeners, and we'll see you next week.